AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Hi, my name is Mira Patasan. I'm an author and I'm an activist, and GoFundMe is my go-to platform for fundraising. The first GoFundMe I did was to raise money for a chapbook or a collection of poetry and essays and short stories. So we started a GoFundMe and our goal was $7,000. What I've learned is so special about GoFundMe is that it's a whole collection of people offering anything from like $4 to $400. And each time you get a ping that someone donated, even if it is just $4, it's so exciting. So if you have a goal and you get there, you can keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. We did go past our goal. It was amazing.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Over fake debates, turn it up, hear the honest sound. Unfiltered sports all year round, discussions pure, no masquerade. Real takes over fake debates. Turn it up.
Over fake debates. And we are live. SB Talk Sports, Sean Webb. Real takes over fake debates. It is Friday. Sean, what's going on with you, brother?
Doing good, SB. Happy Friday to you. Happy Friday, everyone out there. Welcome to Real Takes Over Fake Debates.
Sean, we got a lot to talk about, man. Because I might have to actually, you know, we do a segment here sometimes when we do our clips and people been wilding out on certain of our clips. We appreciate it first, by the way. I love it. Every comment, good, bad, happy, sad, whatever. We enjoy it, by the way. I might have to step in the React booth and take the Shy React seat because I got a lot of people upset because my comments about Jalen Hurts, which we're going to get into later in the show. What if you missed last Monday's episode, please go back and watch and make sure you guys like, share, and subscribe. Where I had a healthy take where I said I believe Jalen Hurts is an average quarterback. Everybody panties was in a bunch. Everybody was upset. And Jalen Hurts fan base came out of everywhere. Everywhere. It was everywhere, Sean. They wowed on me. Even you kind of wowed during the clip on me. So, and even one comment even said, and which was like, whoa, that's out of character. Like, bro, this real takes over fake debates. We don't do emotional takes. They literally said, see, the guy on the right knows what he talking about. He ain't emotional. The guy on the left, right here, he's just emotional, and he's just saying anything. I said, that's crazy. Y'all are big size, but we do love the interaction. But, Sean, before we get into that, that's going to be later in the show. Make sure you guys like, share, subscribe. Join Real Takes Over Fake Debates on any platform. Just look up Real Takes Over Fake Debates or SB Talk Sports. Make sure you guys like, share, and subscribe. But we got to go into what took the internet by storm first and globally before we get into our own troubles. The NBA All-Star Reserves were revealed, Sean. I repeat, the NBA All-Star Reserves were revealed. Oh, it was a lot of things that's upsetting. But before we go into who they picked, let's recap who me and you picked. So we're going to go here real quick. And a recap of our picks and predictions, and we're going to compare and contrast, see if we got it right. Okay, for me, for the East, I went LaMelo Ball. I went LaMelo Ball, Kay Cunningham, Jaylen Brown, Evan Mobley, Pascal Siakam, who I thought was going to get picked by default, Dame Lillard, Trae Young. For your East, you went LaMelo Ball, Kay Cunningham, Jaylen Brown, Evan Mobley, Pascal Siakam, Darius Garland, Trae Young. From your East side, yes. I was going to say, how confident was you? Because we're going to reveal the actual ones, but from when you picked it compared to what you've seen, how confident you was on the East side and how shocked was you when it was different?
To be honest, the only one I was probably really concerned about was Trae Young. Because I thought coaches would be choosing between kind of Trae Young, Dame. But those were the two guys that it was kind of for me choosing between those two guys. I went with Darius Garland because I know the coaches tend to go with winning. And Cleveland, given how they started the season, fourth best start in NBA history of the season, Darius Garland's been a big part of that. And his efficiency in being a big part of that with Donovan Mitchell and with Evan Mobley. So the only one I was a little concerned about was Trae Young.
And then for me, the only one I was concerned about was Darius Garland, because with Darius Garland, I was worried about the fact of just like it was a three-guard race. I'm not going to lie. I thought LaMelo, Kay, Jaylen Brown, Evan Mobley, Pascal Siakam by default was a lock. I thought one of those guards was going to be left off for me. But, you know, we're going to get into it. My Western Conference, I had Anthony Edwards, De'Aaron Fox, Anthony Davis, Sengun, Wimby, Kyrie Irving, Jaren Jackson Jr. The ones I was concerned with was probably Kyrie Irving and De'Aaron Fox because one would – people don't like Sacramento. I think politics is going to play at Sacramento. But I thought at least with how good both of those guys was playing, because I think Sabonis was definitely a all-star lock, but I knew that they was going to reward Sengun because the Rockets was playing out of their mind. And I knew Wimby was going to get the nod regardless because it's Wimby. And Anthony Davis would get the nod because he played for the Lakers. So that's why I kind of, before anybody asked, why did I leave Sabonis off? When I did, but the main people when I made my list, who I was concerned with was Kyrie Irving and De'Aaron Fox. I thought they probably was gonna leave them off. And Sean, your West was Anthony Edwards, Norman Powell, Anthony Davis, Sengun, Wimby, Jalen Williams, Jaren Jackson Jr. Who was you concerned with at first when you made this list?
The only one I was kind of struggling with was Norman Powell because I was like, a Clipper to me had to make it. I went with Norman Powell because again, I just thought his numbers and the season he was having definitely, you know, was deserving. So I was kind of back and forth between Norman Powell and James Harden. You know, so that was the only one. The rest I was very confident in, to be honest with you.
Okay. Now, I'm going to go ahead. I will got no picture of it, but we just going to tell you guys right now. You want to do the East or the West first, Sean?
East.
East. Your Eastern Conference reserves, Sean. is Evan Mobley. We both got that right. Pascal Siakam, we both got that right. Jaylen Brown, we both got that right. Cade Cunningham, we both got that right. Darius Garland, I believe you got that one right.
Uh-huh.
You didn't have Dame. You didn't have
Dame. No, you had Dame.
I had Dame right. And the last person who made it, Tyler Hero of your Miami Heat made it. Before we get to who got snubbed, let's just go through the West first, because we gonna have a lot to talk about. We might debate differently. I'm looking at that day. We're gonna have a conversation today. Let's go to the West. First time All-Star, Sengun. We both got that right. Anthony was Anthony Davis. We both got that right. Anthony Edwards. We both got that right. Jared Jackson Jr. We both got that right. Victor Wembanyama. We both got that right. Jalen Williams. You got that one right. James Harden, neither one of us got that right. Those are your all-stars. For both sides, I'll try to make sure I didn't miss nobody on the East. No, I got everybody. Okay. Let's have a real conversation. Who got snubbed, Sean?
So, you know, I don't like the word snub. SB, you have two young daughters. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's many times that you've taken them to birthday parties that weren't there for their own birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And they might have asked you at some point, you know, where's my present? When can I open my present? When can I open my gift? And it's like, well, it's not your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that you're not important. It's just not your birthday. That's how I view the All-Star game.
Okay.
Sometimes it's not your birthday. There's only 12 spots for each conference, 24 in total. Sometimes it's not your birthday. It doesn't mean you're not having a great season. Doesn't mean you're not having a great individual season. Doesn't mean your team's having a terrible season.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's not your birthday. I will say I was very surprised Trae Young didn't make it.
He was probably
the biggest surprise for me. Obviously, I picked him. Just the fact that he's leading the league in assist first. And, you know, that Atlanta team, you know, say for the last, you know, couple of weeks, because I know they've been on a losing streak, has actually played pretty well this season to the point where you thought they'd probably be at least a lock to make the play in. He was probably the biggest surprise for me in terms of the person who didn't make it. In the West, you know, again, the West is very tight. It's really, really tight. You know, Sabonis. What Sabonis is doing this year, I think not enough people are talking about, just because Sacramento.
It's Sacramento.
It's Sacramento, and they've obviously, when a coach gets fired, there's a part of me that thinks that does hurt you in the All-Star. And I will say, I was honestly, I thought just based on pure numbers and production individually, I thought LaMelo was a lock. I said, I don't see how the Eastern Conference coaches won't vote for him. But when I went and I looked back, when I looked at it, nobody got in on the East who wasn't a top eight seed.
Right. They did win in for that one.
Right. They did win in for that one. And obviously, when you talk about like a team like Orlando, who has Paolo and has Franz, neither of those guys made it, but it's because they missed so much time. But I think generally speaking, if Paolo plays and Orlando is in the top eight, Paolo's probably a lock. So it's just one of those years where, you know, it's musical chairs. Sometimes you only have, you got 15 guys for 12 chairs and everybody won't get a seat. You know, so, which I know we'll talk about in a moment. But LaMelo, Trae Young, I would say Sabonis for me. And then Norman Powell, I picked Norman Powell. I just thought Norman Powell, he's doing this year. The efficiency which he's doing it. And he's really been kind of kept the Clippers afloat. He and James Harden, you know, together. But I think just Norman Powell, nobody saw Norman Powell doing this year. Everybody knew Norman Powell was a really good player.
Yes.
I don't think anybody saw him ascending into all-star level conversation this year, and he has. And I thought he really deserved, you know, a chance. But, you know, it happens.
See, for me, I can say this, right? When it came to the snub list, the one person that I knew was an all-star that I knew was going to get snubbed was Sabonis. So I didn't even waste my time putting him on my prediction list because I already knew the writing was on the wall with Sabonis. Because it's like, you got to reward a Rocket because they was playing out of their mind. And there's too many good guards to give Jalen Green that spot. And then, honestly, let's be real. The league has been more favorable with Sengun. They've been liking Sengun since he started, like, emerging. So I already knew he was going to get a lot. Anthony Davis with the Lakers. I think the Lakers should only have one all-star, but, you know, LeBron James are going to. LeBron James is the NBA, the most popular player in the NBA. He's going to get voted in. But Anthony Davis has been playing at an all-star level, so there go another spot gone. Then you got Wimby. He's supposed to be the next big thing. There's another spot gone. So I kind of already seen it writing on the wall with Sabonis. Sabonis is playing good enough that he should be starting at the All-Star game, to be honest. But politics come into play sometimes. It is what it is with Sabonis. And I'm gonna go back to the Sabonis point when I get to this next point. Because then if it's like a popularity contest when it comes to like the All-Star of a player, and it is good why LaMelo didn't make it, because LaMelo got the numbers, and he's one of the most popular players, the next most popular player in the league. I would think they would have gave him a push and thought he would have been a lot, win, lose, even win it or lose.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
But like you said, the East went with winning more the thing, winning more for the situation, which is fine. Then you got to go with Trae Young, who give you the numbers, who's right on the cusp of being in that conversation, winning when everybody thought the team was going to be doing worse than what they're doing. Trae Young is keeping them above water. My problem is this, right? I bet not ever hear no media member or anybody who had anything to do with the voting system of this All-Star game or anybody who has agreed with this All-Star team being right, tell me stats matter. Don't tell me stats matter. Don't tell me somebody the best player all time because he led this category or he led this league in this during this time. You have two guys who are league leaders in something that's heavily needed at their position, leading the league in that stat category, and didn't make the All-Star team. I'd never want to hear nobody telling me that, hey, Jordan led the league in scoring this year, that's why he's so great, or LeBron did this year, or Tim Duncan did this certain season, he was the best. I never want to hear that again. I don't want to ever hear that again. You have a point guard leading the league in assists in the team that you thought was going to have a down year. He keeping them above water and averaging a double-double. Not no slight double-double, Sean. Like 11 to 12 plus assists a game. Then you got Sabonis, who leads the league in double-doubles, and he's high on the triple-double list. And he's leading the rebound list, leading the league in rebounds. And you telling me it don't matter. That's what you're doing. You telling me it don't matter. I never want to hear nobody say it again. Don't argue, debate me again that somebody is great because they led the league in something. Don't tell me league leaders matter. Two league leaders in a category that's significant to their position did not make the All-Star team. He lead the league rebounds like 14, 13 plus rebounds a game, Sean. And didn't make the All-Star team. Tell me how that makes sense. If Anthony Davis did that right now, there'd be no way you could say we can't lead AD off the All-Star team. Come on now, Sean. That don't even make no sense to me. And this was becoming a problem with the NBA. It's getting ridiculous, Sean. But go ahead for a second. I don't want to go too crazy. But it don't make sense to me. It don't. It don't. It truly doesn't to me.
No, I mean, SB, you have a point. And again, I think it comes back to the definition of value. Is the definition of value when you talk about an individual player winning, statistics, skill set, what's the value or what's the definition of value? And I think when you see these type of things happening, and again, we talk about this every year around this time, because every obviously All-Star is around the same year every time. There's going to inevitably be guys who we know are All-Stars, either have been previously All-Stars, or, you know, should have been, you know, could have been first-time All-Stars this year that didn't make it. You know, I think it's one of those things where, again, and also I do think we have to factor in there's three guys right now who at this junction in their career are legacy All-Stars. Mm. KD, LeBron, and Steph are legacy All-Stars. It's not that they're not playing well, because they are, even though, again, there's someone who thinks that one of those guys should be an All-Star, which I know we'll talk about in a moment. Mm-hmm. But they're legacy All-Stars. So you might as well go ahead and just say, hey, listen, these three guys, while they're still playing, will be in the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. So that takes away three spots in the Western Conference, because all three are in the West. So, and when you talk about those types of things, I think certainly a guy like Sabonis, a guy like Kyrie Irving, who, again, I probably wasn't jumping on the table as much for Kyrie Irving as I would Sabonis, but Dallas has 25-plus wins. They're the only team with 25-plus wins who don't have an All-Star.
And it's and their best player has been out.
And their best player has been out, who we know, if he's available, he's an All-Star. So
that's another lot.
and probably starting,
yes,
in the All-Star game next to SGA. So, you know, I just think it's just one of those years, but every year there's always something. That's why I'm not gonna lose my mind over it. But I do wish that, you know, those guys who we know are All-Stars would just get their just due, because again, there are five or six guys every year who don't make the All-Star team who we know are All-Stars and deserve to be recognized for how great they are, even if it's not playing in the All-Star game.
Yeah. And for me, it's like, it's always going to be somebody, like you said, it's always going to be somebody who probably like snub. But keep the criteria somewhat the same. You know what I'm saying? It's obvious with the politics being in play. It's obvious. I'm sorry, you can't hide it, because you can't tell me it's about winning on one side with the East is why you pick certain players, and then you let Wimby get in. But we know why Wimby get in, because Wimby is the star of the future. So Wimby got in because, you know, his popularity. You know, we got to have Wimby. He's the next star. So winning don't matter. But then you go on the East and snub another guy who's popular, got the most popular vote, and got the numbers with a losing record in LaMelo Ball. So why is LaMelo Ball not here? You're not keeping the same standards. So if it's about winning, that's why we get the East, because, you know, we got to have winners in here. Okay, do the same thing for the West. Oh, it's about popularity. So keep it the same thing with the East end. Do the same thing. Yeah. Why is politics coming to play too much, man? That's where my problem comes in.
Yeah. And again, I think the West is unique, because, again, when you talk about 4 through 11 in the West, I'm talking seedings, those teams are only separated by about four games, mm-hmm. 4 through 11. So that tells you how tight the West is. Obviously, the Spurs, you know, are, you know, right there at the bottom, could potentially be a play-in team, depending on what happens with some of these other teams. But, mm-hmm. you know, Wimby was probably not going to make the All-Star, or was probably not going to be left off the All-Star team because of what he's doing just individually this season. But also, you know, as you said, SB, he is one of the next ones. And so, you know, I know I voted. I had him on my list. I think you might have had him on your list as well.
I had him on mine, yeah.
You know, so, yeah, I knew. And also, I want to just point out, the coaches vote for the players in their conference. Only so Eastern Conference coaches only vote for Eastern Conference players, and they're not allowed to vote for their own players.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, if you could, you know, you want to make sure you vote for your guy. You're not allowed to do that. So, you know, I always feel more confident that the coaches get it right more than the fan and media and player vote get it right. I always feel like coaches tend to get it right a little bit more, but that's just me.
Only person that I was happy before we go to the next one, too, I want to ask this question, too. Out of all the first-time All-Stars who you was happy for, Sean, for me, I was definitely happy to see Evan Mobley get his first time All-Star. I was happy to show the love to Cade Cunningham. They got the All-Star nod. Also, who's the other first time? Jalen Williams, you did get that right because the Thunder do deserve to have two All-Stars because I didn't think they was going to give him the nod. That's why I didn't put him on, man. And Wemby, I wasn't shocked. But shout out to them the first time All-Star.
But Tyler Heroes.
No. I'm getting there. Don't worry. I'm getting there. We've had a conversation. I saved the conversation for last in a second.
Okay.
Shout out to Tyler Hero for getting his first time All-Star. Not going to take it away from Tyler. But he did not deserve it over Trae Young or LaMelo Ball, Sean. I try to see what you're trying to pull. You're trying to Houdini me because the Heat got all this turmoil going on. And the Heat still doing good with all the Jimmy stuff going on. We the 6th seed. You're 23-23. And at the point in time, y'all was still coasted to 50%. Y'all ain't doing nothing too crazy special where it's like, and Tyler Hero, all around great year. All his numbers are up all around. Not going to deny that. But it's no way you put Tyler Hero over LaMelo Ball or Trae Young. It's nothing you can argue me. If you got a case for him, please, I would love to hear it. But it's nothing you can argue for me that Tyler Hero deserved that spot over Trae Young or LaMelo Ball.
SB, would you pull up my Eastern Conference reserves again, please? Mm-hmm. I just want to point something out.
I got you. Hold on. Let me move this out the way real quick. Wait. Oh, I hit the wrong button. Give me a second.
Oop. So I'm going to say, obviously, I had LaMelo Ball and I had Trae Young as All-Stars. I had LaMelo Ball as a lock. Like, he was the one I said, oh, yeah, they're going to reward him. Mm-hmm. What he and Cade are doing this season, statistically, they're going to award. But I'm going to also say this, and why I don't have issue with the Eastern Conference coaches doing what they did, they sided towards winning, and everybody who's in the All-Star game in the Eastern Conference is a top 8 seed in the East. So I'm not going to fight with that. Now, I'm going to say also say selfishly, and this is just me being selfish for a moment, and we'll get back to the normal programming. I'm glad Tyler Hero made the All-Star game because that gets his trade value up.
Oh my God. see, there it goes. See, yep, I already knew it was something with it. See, I already knew it was something with it.
Yes. Back to the regular schedule program. All right.
So now you want to be like, you got to ask me this now. So you happy Tyler Hero made it to the All-Star team. So when the offseason come, you want Pirate to pick up the phone and say, hey, I got All-Star Tyler Hero available for trade. That's what you want to hear.
Well, I mean, if someone becomes disgruntled and becomes available, who would be great in a Heat uniform and in Heat culture, and it requires sending out a talent, and Tyler Hero's talented. I'm not saying he's not.
Yeah, he's talented.
He's talented. He's having a really good season. He's having his best season of his career, obviously. Then obviously, yeah, you have to give up talent to get talent, and I'd be fine with Tyler Hero going out to, you know, in a trade to bring back high-level talent.
But in the other multiverse of the world, what if Miami Heat say, you know, we got an all-star in Tyler Hero. Let's build around him and give him another extension when this contract up.
That remains to be seen. That remains to be seen.
I said, how would you feel then if that happens?
That remains to be seen. I'll let you know how I feel when it happens.
Yeah, Sean will have a panic attack. But since we go to the subject of All-Stars and who got snubbed, Kendrick Perkins had a strong feeling about a certain All-Star. I have not seen this clip, but Sean seen it. I wanted to react to it live during the show. Because when I just seen what was supposedly said, I was just like, what is he talking about? Kendrick Perkins said a certain person shouldn't have made the All-Star team. This person is a starter. This person is the first ballot Hall of Famer. This person is the greatest at what he does well all time. So I want to hear this live. Let's see what Kendrick Perkins had to say about this certain All-Star.
Devin Booker, De'Aaron Fox, just in his conference, who had better seasons than, are playing better than him. Look, I'm going to say the quiet thing out loud. Steph Curry should not be an all-star. He shouldn't.
What?
That's
guys are playing. You still look, no matter what the fans want, no matter what the coaches want, no matter what we want, who we want to see, this still you have to earn to be an all-star by your production. And if you're looking at the production around the league, it's guys in the Western Conference that have better numbers than Steph, and their teams are in better positions than Steph. So, I mean, what? Am I lying? I look at a guy like Steph Curry.
What? Okay. What? Okay. It's worse than what I thought, Sean. It was worse than what I thought. I thought he was. Kendrick Perkins said Steph Curry don't deserve to be in the All-Star game. For reference, Steph Curry right now is averaging 22 points. He's shooting 44% from the field goal, 40% for three, four rebounds, pretty much six assists. And the Warriors are currently at the 11th seed with 24 wins, 23 losses. Sean, he don't understand that Steph Curry got voted in as a starter. He don't because saying that it's not about what the people want. The All-Star game is only for the people. And you get voted in as a starter, and you know Steph Curry is going to get voted in regardless. Then the other problem that I had, it's about production. And if he did do this, please, somebody send it to me. Send it to me. TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, tag me in it, whatever. What was the same energy for Trae Young against Sabonis? LaMelo, because they got the production and the numbers. Sabonis. Trae Young, they winning. What's the problem? Steph Curry got a positive record. Does Kendrick Perkins? I know Kendrick Perkins. I understand you probably don't understand like how the All Star format worked because you didn't make the All Star team. It's hard to understand it because you weren't there. But you know when you're a starter, they vote you in.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Regardless, you're going to get voted in. So Steph Curry is an all-star because he got voted in. And you can't never say Steph Curry does not deserve to be an all-star because the amount of work that Steph Curry put in over his career, he's always going to be an all-star. Sean, you said earlier, legacy all-star, Steph Curry, LeBron James, Kevin Durant. Because then my next thing was going to be, did he keep the same energy for like LeBron James?
Of course not. Let me say this really quickly. I think Kendrick Perkins has been to several all-star games, but of course the only way he got in was because he had a ticket. The fans have 50% of the vote. The media has 25% of the vote. The players have 25% of the vote. A combination of that vote said Steph Curry is an all-star. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to argue with that, right? It's not like it was the 100% of the fans vote like it used to be. It split up 50% fans, 25% media, 25% players. A combination of that said that Steph Curry is a starter in the All-Star game and is an All-Star. So to me, this is pointless. And again, I didn't think there were, outside of Oklahoma City, my belief was no team in the West deserved two All-Stars.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of Oklahoma City, there's another team in the West that got two All-Stars.
You know why they got two All-Stars.
Exactly. So, to quote the great Snoop Pearson, deserve got nothing to do with it.
No, it's not. You got to still give the people what they want to see, too.
Right. This is the process. People want to see Steph Curry in the All-Star game. You want to see Steph Curry at All-Star weekend. The game's in freaking San Francisco.
You think you're not going to have the greatest shooter of all time?
Who one plays most, in San Francisco?
The most popular player in San Francisco. Maybe California.
Who plays in the Bay Area?
In the Bay.
Not at the All-Star game in the Bay Area. Like, make it make sense. So, you know, this is the value of having just someone who likes to talk just for the sake of talking, and we can move forward.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna be real with you, Sean. I'm gonna be real with you, and it's on him for exposing this. He shouldn't have exposed this. It was the year when the Phoenix Suns first made the finals, and Kendrick Perkins went on TV and said some wild stuff that the Phoenix Suns is a dynasty. He knew he said some dumb stuff. Then when people ask, like, bro, why you say the Phoenix Suns are dynasty? They didn't even win nothing. Oh, yeah, you know, the bosses come with the email saying, hey, we need somebody to take this side. So I took this side. And ever since then, I never took nothing what he ever said since. I know that because of my media background. I understand, like, how the show production go. But for you to just blatantly come out and say it, oh, okay, well, I'm a green light you did. Like, no, I'll never take nothing you say serious because now I know you don't move off your own thought pattern. You're just going to do what they – you're going to tell them what they tell you to say just for clickbait and rage. And not knowing that this generation now of media that we're doing now, we'd rather for you to just be honest and say what you're feeling. That works better. Yeah, but like I said, we can move on. Speaking of another thing I have a problem with, Devin Booker, who has been snubbed from the All-Star game, supports the decision of expanding the All-Star game roster. Obviously, we know it's 12 active players in each roster. They want to expand it to 15. Sean, I'm going to let you go first on this because I'm going to go off. But I'll let you go first.
I'm going to be very brief. No. Just no. No. No.
First of all, Sean, how do you want to? Me. I'm just saying, if I'm the commissioner, right? Hey. We thinking about expanding the All-Star game roster. I'm going to look to the left, to the right, just to make sure they really – y'all serious? Yeah, we want to expand the All-Star game roster. We think it's certain players who get left off. You know, we should get everybody in. So this is just a consolation prize now. No, bitch, you know, everybody deserves an All-Star spot. No, I mean, because when y'all go out there, y'all play like it's a consolation prize. Y'all don't take the game seriously. Y'all don't give the people what they want on the floor. So why would I add three more people to play when y'all don't even, the 12 people that I sent out there from side to side, oh, you want to say 24 to be exact, y'all don't even go out there and play hard. People asking to get rid of the All-Star game. So why would I add more people to a game that y'all don't even take serious? Make that make sense to me. I have to offer you guys more money to play hard. And it's all bad enough. Y'all already getting paid substantially more. It's role players in the league making more than some of the all-time great made during their whole career. But y'all can take one game out for the league and to play hard. But you want me to add three more spots to each roster. Tell me how that makes sense. And of course, somebody who got snubbed gonna support it because he got snubbed. You not know. No, you better be lucky I ain't say you need to shrink the roster, make it 10 people. Because why we got this stupid format of where we got to have three, four different teams, and it can't just be East versus West. Oh, because y'all don't want to play hard during the All-Star game. It's boring. Y'all play harder in the summer runs, but you want three more spots for an All-Star roster. No. H to the no. I feel like how bad they playing, they should take four roster spots away. It should be 10 people. Because y'all don't deserve more people. It makes no sense. The NBA players are getting to a point where it's ruining the NBA. They've been it over backwards for anything that the players say and do. They suggest anything, they just do it. And it's becoming a problem for the NBA. It truly is. It truly is, Sean. To even suggest this is blasphemy to me. And they had to just literally make – I'm literally would have been like, well, he suggested it. Yeah, I support it. Why? Y'all don't even play hard during the All-Star game. It's to a point, Sean, I really think they should get rid of the All-Star game. In the back of my mind, I'm debating on watching it. I only might watch the All-Star game because I might have to. But if it's for my own enjoyment, I don't want to watch the All-Star game. It's a waste of time. 100% waste of time. And this leads to my point, Sean, where I truly believe the NBA players are running the NBA. They are. Top to bottom running the NBA. First of all, let me say this. You guys are ruining, and I say ruining, the foundation of what every player in the past has built for y'all. They got y'all paid. They got y'all some rights when it comes to things. They got it, but player mobility is a thing. The Players Association actually does their job. And y'all take it for granted. The health insurance, everything they did, y'all got paid more. Y'all got more benefits. Y'all got more say-so. The players actually matter now. And the players today are taking it for granted. I literally said it early in the segment before. It is role players. Role players, not even six men. Role players are making more money than all-time greats did in their career. Last season, was it the Big O who was on the sideline?
Yes.
Big O. And during his era, the players literally was going to sit out. Because I think they were trying to get a union, right? I don't want to be misquoted or be wrong.
They were forming a union, and they wanted player benefits. They wanted health benefits, things of that nature.
Which they end up getting. And they was willing to sit out. Big O comes to the All-Star game. It was an utter disgusting travesty and disrespect to what he did and what he did for the game of basketball, how they played. And they begged them and literally talked to the players before the game. Play hard. We ain't saying go out there and act like, you know what I'm saying, it's game seven of the finals. Just treat it like how y'all doing this summer. Just play hard. Get a sweat out there. You know what I'm saying? Get a sweat. Act like y'all care. We didn't get that. We didn't get that at all. Next thing, the player mobility. They open up the doors. Player can be more vocal. They can, you know what? I'm not going to be stuck in the situation, because we've seen great players who stay loyal to teams. They didn't make no moves for them. We open the door for that. Players be more active. They can speak. You know what I'm saying? It's not frowned upon no more like it used to be if you tried to do that. What players do? Now they act like degenerates. They act like brats, divas. And don't get me wrong. I got to keep PG. Owners don't do their job. And in certain ways that they show that it's very back in the day type of ways. I'm not going to deny that. Not going to deny that. But how players are going about it and doing this thing is just like an utter disrespect to the game. Next thing, not even playing. I don't care. You can't try to sell me all the medicine and the science of the health is why I'm not playing. No, you got players who literally just sit out. Oh, the organization told me no. Zion just had a whole interview. I can play back-to-backs, but they don't want me to. Why is that, Zion? You ain't taking care of your body like how you're supposed to. You eating gumbos and chasing film stars. You ain't doing everything you're supposed to be on the floor all the time. You, they money. You think all the money they make off you, they gonna just tell you, hey, sit out. They know you can't play back-to-backs because you're not taking care of your body. Y'all take that for granted. And when you look at the table that is dealt with the players today, they act like spoiled brats. They getting paid more money. They play less games. They don't take the All-Star game seriously. So when it's their time to get back, they don't give nothing back in return. And I'm sorry, Sean. I know we're going to get into it more because we got to talk about him next. I feel like Adam Silver bent over backwards, let the players do everything. Now, was David Stern a little too iffy, but it looked too iron fist-like? 100%, probably so. But you got to be in the middle. I feel like Adam Silver is marshmallow. He let the players do whatever. And something has to change. That's just me.
Let me say SB really quickly. I think this NBA problem started long before Adam Silver came into office as the commissioner. He's only been the commissioner coming up on 11 years. Mm-hmm. There's certain things, but also let me remind people, the commissioner works at the pleasure of the owners. He is hired by, he works for the owners. He works for the league. There are certain things that I think commissioners do, and what they do mostly is stand in front of firing squads and take a bunch of bullets for things that have nothing to do with them more often than not. I do believe in the true sense, SB, that there's a problem. And I think part of the problem is what we're seeing is what AAU basketball has ultimately done to the NBA. To be honest, right? It's when you think about AAU basketball, I'm just speaking about AAU basketball really quickly. If you're a basketball player and you play middle school, high school, youth, college, and AAU, the majority of the games that you play growing up are in the AAU.
Yep.
And I think what you're seeing is the unintended consequences of what AAU has done to professional basketball, particularly here in the United States. Now, I will say it doesn't apply to everybody. I think there are some guys who do have a sense of responsibility to, hey, I'm getting paid a lot of money to do something I love to do. I don't love all that comes with the job because it is a job, but I love to do this, so I'm going to show up and I'm going to play. And then there's the other guys who say, yeah, you know what, I don't have my joy. I'm not happy. You know, I'll act like an idiot so you can get me out of here.
Ben Simmons.
You know, or I'll just say, you know what, hey, you know what, man, I don't think I really want to be here. Now, we didn't talk about De'Aaron Fox. We didn't put the De'Aaron Fox story in, but I want to point something out about De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox, number one, has not asked to be traded.
Mm-hmm.
He did not ask to be traded. He wanted to wait to sign an extension. I think he wanted to test free agency. So the story that came out this week is really the Kings saying, hey, we don't want to lose De'Aaron Fox for nothing, potentially. That's why we're getting out in front of this.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But it's not De'Aaron Fox saying, oh, I'm just not going to show up to work, or I'm just going to play halfway and any of that other stuff. So that's what I'm talking about when you talk about being a professional and being someone who understands your
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
For responsibility to not just yourself, but to the people around you, your teammates, and to the organization that you work for, because ultimately you work for the organization.
Yep.
And I know we don't always talk about it in that light. You work for the organization to show up
and
to do your job. I think why you saw some of the things that happened in this last CBA was it a result of the situations, but like the Ben Simmons and the James and the James Hardens and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. I'm putting Kawhi in a separate box because I think Kawhi's got a serious knee problem.
I think so.
Nobody's really being very open and honest about. But when you just decide, you know, hey, I'm just not going to play, I think it's bad. I think it's bad. And it's why the older guys look at you and like, what are you doing? You're making $70 million a year. You're making $50 million a year. Why can't you just show up and play?
Won't be honest, know. John. I don't think because the NBA players are making so much money now, I don't think they genuinely love the game of basketball. Like, back in the day, I could say majority of the players, if I had to be honest, I could probably say like 80, if I had to make a rough estimate, like 85, close to 90% of the league, probably like back in the day when they want to make that much money or to get to that point making money, actually love the game of basketball. To me, honestly, I think in today's NBA, a lot of guys are just making the lead because they're just that good enough of talent to make it. But if I had to put a rough estimate on it, probably like 75 to 70 players probably actually love the game of basketball. Probably like the other 20 to 30% just in there because it's making a lot of money. Like, why would you turn down that? Like you said, $70 million contract and you a role player. Are you going to turn that down? $15, $20 million a year and you don't really love the game? You're just talented. And I think that's truly what the problem is. Like, a lot of players today don't really truly love the game of basketball. They're just talented enough to play basketball.
And you may be right on that, SB. I don't have a full-fledged opinion on that at this juncture. But I will say it goes back to the point that I made to you earlier about just I think you're seeing the remnants of spoiled, entitled. I have this ability, so I can act this way because I have this ability. And, you know, one thing I've always said about the NBA, and I'll say about professional sports in general, every time a guy retires, you know what happens? The league goes on.
Yes, sir.
Which tells me the league doesn't need you. It doesn't mean you're not great for the league, but the league doesn't need you. The league will go on. There's a guy playing in LA right now. He's going to retire, I believe, after next season.
Yes.
Guess what's going to happen? It's going to be a following NBA season. Mm-hmm. The league will go on. It always does.
Yep. Everybody thought the league was going to be the same without Mike. Guess what? Another person came. Same way without Magic. Another person came. Kareem, yeah. Will, yeah. Jerry West, Bill Russell. The league going to keep moving on.
It will keep moving on. It will keep moving on. So, you know, what I don't want to see from the player's perspective is wasting the finite time you have to play in this league because it doesn't last forever. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. You know how many older guys wish they could still play in the NBA?
A lot.
Mm-hmm. You know, they wish they could still have the camaraderie and the brotherhood they have with their teammates. A lot of them still wish they could have it because you only get it for a finite time. So I just wish more guys would see it in that way and stop being so, you know, present-centered. No, look at the big picture. Look at the big picture is you're blessed to do something not everybody gets to do, and hopefully you get to do it for as long as you want, but eventually you won't be able to do it. Physically, whatever, you won't be able to do it. And you move on, and the league will move on, and you know, and you have to know that. So nobody's bigger than in the NFL, they say nobody's bigger than the shield. In the NBA, nobody's bigger than the logo.
Nope. Only league that will show it to you in your face and let you know that you ain't bigger than the logo is NFL. The NFL don't care.
I will say, I think there's other – the NBA does it, but it doesn't do it so overtly. The NBA does it in the sense of, you think it was – you can act like this right now. We'll put up with you because we think you're talented. But at a certain point, if one of the 30 teams doesn't see you as talented enough, they'll be done with you. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be in the NBA.
Yeah.
You know,
and move on to the next one.
I don't want to make this a diatribe about that. I'm just saying I think there's serious questions about the mentality of these players. I saw something the other day. It was a coach talking about younger players coming into his program and the fact that these guys don't know how to fail. They don't know how to fail. Like, failure's a part of the process. Not winning's a part of the process. Mm-hmm. Not winning really shows who you are, because anybody can be great when everything's cool. Anybody can be happy when everything's cool. You know, it happens in relationships. It happens in work situations. Anybody can be, you know, their best smiley self when things are going well. How are you when things get tough? That's the true test of character. That's the true test of moral strength and moral excellence. And I think we're seeing, unfortunately, you know, younger generations, and I'll say younger generations without being very specific, a lot of the people in the younger generation don't necessarily know how to stand up and say, no, this is not good enough, and I'm going to do what I can to make this better. They're waiting for somebody to come pull them out of it,
and you know,
and it's not going to happen. So, you know, I just think you're seeing the remnants of all of that, and that's why we are where we are with the NBA today in a lot of ways. But it's a lot more nuanced conversation, and there's a lot more to the story than just that, I believe.
No, it's not true. What else? We're in the NBA, the GOAT debate with LeBron James, but that's a different story for a different day. Also, speaking of other things, here you go again. Adam Silver. Let him do whatever. Adam Silver was on, I believe it was the Dan Kirkpatrick show.
Dan Patrick radio show.
Dan Patrick radio show. I closed the article. It's okay. I remember I read it. Dan Patrick radio show, and pretty much was flirting with the idea of changing the NBA to 10-minute quarters. Good or bad idea?
Well, let me say what he, so he was at, I want to put context on it. Somebody was just watching a clip and they wanted to flame Adam Silver. Let me put context on the conversation. Okay. So Dan Patrick was talking about other sports and some of the changes that they've made that were considered radical. So baseball adding a pitch clock, people thought, oh, that's not going to work, but it sped the game up. It's made the game go better. You know, things like that, you know, football, NFL changing the kickoff, you know, they don't get the same injuries, things of that nature, stuff like that. The reason why he brought up the 10-minute quarters was for two things. One, he was talking about the NBA trying to partner with FIBA and do more things in that space. The NBA is the only basketball league that plays 12-minute quarters. All the rest play 10-minute quarters. Mm-hmm. Or in the case of college basketball, it's two 20-minute halves.
Right. Yeah. So it's still 10-minute quarters.
But still basically 10-minute quarters if you break it down. So it's not something they're to be very clear, they're not saying we're headed to this way. He was just talking about things that he thought about to improve the game. But also, one of the big issues that the NBA is noticing is from a viewership perspective, the younger generation doesn't watch entire games.
No. They watch the highlights.
So is a two-hour block for a game better for the television perspective? Mm-hmm. I don't know the answer to that. I'm just saying that's something that he was kind of talking about. I think people really have to understand that when you talk about making a major change like this, or again, it's nowhere near being changed. It's just something that they talked about. The Olympics, 10-minute quarters, you know, there's no real, okay, let's be very clear. The NBA season is going to be 82 games. They're not shortening the season. Mm-hmm. They're not shortening the season. So what's the other potential alternatives there, right? From a revenue perspective, you're not going to shorten the season.
No.
But if you cut 8 minutes out of a game, how does that protect players long-term from a health perspective? These are all things that you think about. So I want to be very clear. He wasn't saying they were thinking about doing this. He was just talking about some radical, quote, radical things that he's thought about that he would like to see, but he's in the minority. He even said, I'm in the minority on this, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And also, you had two coaches, Mike Malone and Steve Kerr, both talk about it. Mike Malone talked about it from the perspective of, you know, let's protect the legacy of the NBA game, things like that, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Steve Kerr, on the other hand, who we know coach internationally, where you got the 10-minute quarters, talked about maybe there could be some benefit to it, but it's something that has to be, there's a lot of things that have to be flushed out around it. And then also, what does it do from a statistics perspective to the all-time stats? So there are different things I think to consider and to think about, but it's not that he was saying, Adam Silver did not say, hey, we're thinking about doing this. He was just talking about an idea that he was thinking about, but it's all of those things that I just talked about. The FIBA partnership, the fact that the NBA is the only league that does 12-minute quarters globally, all of those things were factoring into kind of why he was, you know, he's a proponent for thinking about it and seeing if it could work.
And I think the problem with the NBA is just like what we just talked about the segment before. So everybody has like that mindset of like the NBA players are ruining the NBA type mindset. So it'd be like, here go another thing. They just want, I think that's why I just added on to there. Like, here go another thing. And then it's just like, it's getting to a point, like you said, Mike Malone said, you don't want to take away from the integrity of the game, but it's getting to that point. It truly is. It truly, and I think it's bad enough that the biggest problem that's going on is the younger generation don't watch full games. And I think the older generation who watch full games is starting to get to a point of getting disgusted with the NBA. And they turned away from it. Like, you know what? I'm not going to watch this. You know, because they shoot too much threes or they change the course. They're doing this. Whatever the reasons why the old generation complained, but you get what I'm saying. It's turning them away. And the young generation, like, hey, look, bro, if this ain't no 10-second TikTok, I ain't watching it.
Can I ask real quick, though, just another thing, too, SB, because I know you're a video game dude. You play 2K?
This year, I actually took a break from it. But, in general,
you play 2K. Do you ever play 12-minute quarters on 2K?
No. I play online. Online is like, it's like 5-minute quarters, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's the other thing when you think about the impact of the video game generation in terms of how they watch games. You know, so I'm not saying Adam Silver is out of pocket with this. I just believe that I think there are a lot of factors to consider, and a lot of it has to do with attention span.
Yes.
But also, I was thinking about it, too, because, again, when he was talking about it, I was kind of listening. I was like, would a 40-minute game be more competitive than a 48-minute game, given you have less time?
I mean, yeah, no.
Well, I mean, and I'm going to use the example, the U.S. versus Serbia, USA versus France during the Summer Olympics. Those were probably the two best games you saw last year.
Yes.
And I'm talking just all basketball. Not even all basketball.
It was a good game.
4 10-minute quarters.
I mean, I'm always open to anything because I think it's getting to a point with the NBA. We're going to have to do something. We can't keep it the way it's going right now. You have to do something. Something's got to change. And if they don't change something soon, viewership will go down. But also, one question I want to ask real quick. I know we got to move on to the next segment.
Well, yeah, and I want to say one thing too real go quick. Ahead. Just one of the complaints about the game, and I'm just saying basketball in general, is there's not uniformity across all leagues and all at all levels. Mm. So, for example, in FIBA, they used to use the trapezoid zone, the trapezoid lane.
Okay.
Right, the paint. The paint was shaped like a trapezoid. Mm. FIBA got rid of it. What did they go to? They went to the rectangular. No, because that's what they play in the NBA, and that's what they play. That's what we play here. Right. So you've seen other leagues and adjust. Other areas try to adjust to provide some uniformity to basketball all around. Mm-hmm. I think, again, that's part of the thought process from Adam Silver's perspective is how do we make the game more universal in terms of uniformity so the product is, you know, has some similarities, but players aren't necessarily playing in crazy conditions, you know, in one league and then come to another league and it's totally different. So that was, I think, part of why there was some thought process there. But I just want to point that out that the FIBA did it in 2010. They got rid of the trapezoid zone in 2010. We've seen in other leagues, I think the NBA is thinking about that as well.
But, Sean, my only question is this, though, because if it's less TV time, that means less money. You think players going to give up money for go to 10-minute quarters?
Not necessarily. I mean, when you talk about – so I think the issue with less TV time is how ads are being commercials are being shown during games. So, you know, you're seeing in some instances commercials at the smaller where you hear the audio of the commercial. There's a smaller box at the bottom of the screen for the commercial during the game. You're not hearing the commentary, but you're still seeing the game, but the commercial and the audio is playing. So I think I think what networks care about, obviously, is content, but also, yes, they want this for as much as they pay to broadcast the broadcasting rights for these games. They want to make their money. It's just there's this constant evolution with how you're collecting that ad revenue and the means by which you're putting out ads. That's what I think will evolve, continue to evolve. But the game itself being a little short, I don't think necessarily is going to hurt that piece.
Okay. Sean, we got to go to – remember I told you it was a part of the show where we usually do sometimes people go crazy. We do like Sean Reacts. I guess I gotta step in the Sean Reacts booth, man. But it's SB Reacts because Jalen Hurts fans are upset with me, Sean. And
it was, they should be.
As they shouldn't be, as they shouldn't be, because I was telling the truth. Okay. So if we go to let's see, I'll go to my TikTok, let me find it. I want to replay the clip of what started. We had a couple of clips. Make sure you guys subscribe and follow me. Which one was it? Which one started? I believe it was this one that started it first. Go back to this Eagle point. Man, if you don't get out of here with Saquon Barkley is him, Sean. Saquon Barkley is him. No, why didn't it seem like Saquon carried? Because they had the game in the bag by the first half, Sean. Of course Saquon don't carry. Not everybody get to eat. The problem is, Sean, and I'm telling you the truth about this team, the Eagles are heavily talented everywhere, but their quarterback is average. JD Daniel, average quarterback.
Jalen Hurts, by the way. I don't know
how to blowout game. So now he can force feed.
So imagine, I posted it on like multiple things, whatever, cool. You know what I'm saying? And see, that one didn't really have too crazy, but the IG too. So I'm going to just read you off a couple of what started. And there's multiple other videos. Obviously, you see we got this one too. See, some people agree with me on this, but Sean. Wait, did it play clip? Wait, okay, dude. Okay, wait, let me exit and come back. Clip. They don't want me to play it. Well, with the clip, what I said.
For this, because I know this will make you mad. Right now, yes. Baker Mayfield is a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts. Baker Mayfield is a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts right now. Right now to this day.
Baker Mayfield is a better quarterback. Let me Baker Mayfield finish the top three of the MVP. Show me. But we're not gonna sit there and act like this dude is not in the conversation of the best quarterback in the NFC. We're not going to do that.
It ain't that many great NFC quarterbacks.
Which is, and that's not Jalen Hurts' fault. He can't help that those other guys play in the AFC.
No, I'm not mad at that. I'm looking. Hold on. Let's go. I want to look at the NFC real quick. That
this would have led a fuel to the fight, so I'm just giving y'all context.
Because we can make a list. I'm going to tell you who I'll probably take over him. At quarterback right now. Let's go NFC. We go down the list. I already said I'm taking Dak and Jane Daniels.
And you are crazy to take Dak. You are crazy to take Dak.
I'm taking Dak.
You're not taking Dak. Even the Cowboys fans say they have the third best quarterback in the division.
Which is cap, by the way.
Stats, but the team was terrible.
That's not true. There is Cowboys.
I can't do it. I can't. I know Jay Daniels the best quarterback in the division right
now. He ain't the best quarterback in the division. Is he trending that way? Yes, but he is not the best quarterback in that division.
He's a rookie. He's a rookie.
Get more dirt on your uniform before you get that designation.
I mean, you see what happened to Jalen Hurts every year. It's shaky on and off because this year
you see the Eagle green in the conversation is crazy.
I think Matthew Stafford right now better quarterback. Seahawks, Geno, I give Jalen Hurts over Geno. I give him over Kyler. I give him over Brock. Jared Goff is definitely better than him right now.
We're not doing that.
Are we doing that?
Don't make me say Sam Darnold.
When is Jared Goff been in the
MVP? Everybody have one good year time, though, Sean.
Like top three voting MVP.
He's finna be this year how he was playing finna ain't. Okay, it's fine. MVP conversation. Everybody had MVP type season. Okay, Sam Darnold. He got Jordan Love, but Jordan Love on the way though right now.
I think he's trending upwards. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Caleb Williams not yet, but Caleb Williams.
We can't even put rookies in this conversation because you ain't got the 1 year. You ain't even in the conversation.
I'm gonna set up for this because I know this is gonna make you mad. Right now, yes. Baker Mayfield is a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts.
Before we go to the point, I want to read a couple of comments. And obviously, basically, you see you guys subscribe, River Tate, so fake the base, by the way. The Real was like, this ain't aging well at all. Them at home looking at him going to the Super Bowl. Where's Baker at? Where's Hurts at? How many times Baker was the MVP race? How many times was Baker in the NFC Championship game? Somebody said yes. Somebody said 100. Jalen Hurts in his second Super Bowl. The only other QB in the league to do that is Mahomes. Just stop.
I don't care who's better than Hurts. He's in his second Super Bowl. Zero for Dak and Baker. Diddy said, how many MFers make no sense? Hurts got the most wins, been to the most Super Bowl than all these dumb, bleeping, overhyped quarterbacks that don't do SHIT with this matter. The only quarterback I'm taking is Hurts, and that's it. So, and I was like, you know, people tried me again. You know, at that point, I think I showed you the one when I went down the list. I ain't gonna play this video because I want to make it too many video segments. But so when I asked MJ, he brought up winning, and he was like, "How can somebody be?" Hold on, I'm gonna take it out of screen. I'll say this. MJ asked me, "How can somebody be an all-pro and multiple-time Super Bowl appearance type of guy and be an average quarterback?" And I went down the list, Sean, as I showed you. I said Terry Bradshaw, Eli Manning, Troy Aikman, Russell Wilson. It's all multiple-time Pro Bowlers, Super Bowl winners, or with multiple Super Bowl appearances, they average. And that's wrong being an average quarterback. Am I wrong? I think Jalen Hurts is in that category. And if you try to come to me and say, oh, but Jalen Hurts' mobility ability because his legs, because his arm game is trash, his accuracy has went up this year. Fewer throws, by the way. But nobody talk about that. But, okay, I'll play the accuracy throw game. But stop acting like his mobility is like it's not a specialty thing. It's like a necessity now. You have to be a mobile quarterback or be able to run in today's NFL. So that's not a specialty no more. So you can't just use, hey, he can run. It don't matter. Everybody can run now. You have to.
Well, no, I mean, no. Not necessarily because Jared Goff doesn't run.
But he can throw the ball.
But when he's on time, yeah. Yeah, Jared Goff. I don't want to make this a Jared Goff conversation. Mm-hmm. I just want to be very clear. And this is so SB does not speak for me. SB is obviously real based. This is SB's platform. He does not speak for me. I understand what Jalen Hurts does. Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts is a very good quarterback. Is again, as I said on Monday, and I'll say again today, he's not Lamar, he's not Patrick Mahomes, he's not Joe Burrow, mm-hmm. he's not Josh Allen. But two of those guys have never sniffed a Super Bowl. One of those guys played pretty well in the Super Bowl, but if I go back and I look at Jalen Hurts' Super Bowl from 2 years ago, he outplayed Patrick Mahomes in that Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, he did. He had a good game.
He had a really good game. He outplayed Patrick Mahomes mm-hmm. in that Super Bowl. They didn't win, okay. But he outplayed him. And again, short and you take and again, the fumble obviously was a huge play. Can't take anything away from that, whatever. But he balled out in that Super Bowl. I think what happens sometimes is again. It's easy to say, oh, Saquon. But what people don't point out enough is Jalen Hurts actually makes Saquon better because of his ability.
What?
I'm going to give you that. No. Hold on. Stop. Hold on. If they run read option, which they do, mm-hmm. As a defender, particularly if you're that edge defender and you're the guy whose job is to crash or to stay home, you have to make a decision because of Jalen Hurts' ability to run the football.
Okay.
It's no different with Lamar and Derrick Henry. It only looks different because of Derrick Henry's size comparative to Lamar next to Lamar. Hold on. It looks different. I'm not saying it is different. I said it looks different.
No, it is different because Lamar can actually throw the ball and make every pass. That's the
difference. Hold on. But again, I think we got to stop with this. And because, again, I will also remind people, too, when he was at Alabama.
And got benched.
He got benched in the second half for the second half of the national championship game. He goes to Oklahoma. That's a spread offense. It's not just him running. He's making all the throws. So it's not that he can't do it. It's they're saying, hey, for this particular situation, for this game, is what we think we need to do to win. That's all. That's what, and we talk about winning being the name of the game. That's why your GOAT gets praised the way he does, because every week they would go out and say, hey, here's what we got to do to win the game. Hey, this week, Corey Dillon's got to get 30 touches this week. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're not going to throw the ball a lot because against this particular team, we think this is the best matchup. And in game, you make adjustments, things of that nature, and that's it. That's what Jalen Hurts does. Yeah. He manages what they need to do to win every single week. That's the job.
I ain't gonna deny that. That's true.
And again, I think both things can be true. I think Jalen Hurts can make Saquon Barkley better. I think Saquon Barkley can make Jalen Hurts better. That's part of the game. There's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
But also, a couple more comments before I go in, Tushar. The ones on the YouTube video, because I clipped out the video. Somebody just commented now, like 2 seconds ago. Dak Prescott is a constant choke artist. Jalen Hurts wins football games flat out due to math. That's from the reaction to the clip. That was the whole segment. So if you want to go see the whole segment, go on the YouTube, go check the channel, you see it. Somebody said the guy on the right is speaking facts, which is you. The other guy is speaking with his feelings. ... Laugh out loud. About a record. If y'all watch the show enough, I'm an Alabama fan. I literally keep telling y'all, I like Jalen Hurts. I'm a fan of Jalen Hurts. I was a fan of Jalen Hurts since he was in college because I like Alabama. Just because I feel a certain way about his play don't mean I don't like him and I'm hating. Like, stop it. Like, I don't hate Jalen Hurts. I'm a far more of a fan of him than Patrick Mahomes, I can tell you that. Then another comment said, Jalen Hurts was the highest rated player out of everyone last week, the week before, in terrible conditions. He was rated higher than Josh Allen, who was celebrated as officially dynamic in the ice and the snow, while Jalen Hurts was considered to underperform. Yet he has a better completion percentage and a higher QBR and more touchdowns. He wrote like a whole essay. I'm not reading all that. But 100%, Jalen Hurts has been doing his thing. I never denied that at the point of the playoffs. I'm just going from a consistent point, like the point from what I have been seeing with him during this year. That's it. I'm happy. I hope Jalen Hurts ball out. I hope because the Eagles should beat him. But the main point of me calling an average quarterback, Sean, obviously you disagree with that. So what would you put him at?
I said SB, he's a B-plus quarterback. That's above average. Average is C.
He's C-plus.
No, he's B-plus.
B-minus.
You cannot be second in MVP
voting. That's 2 years ago.
But it doesn't matter. And again, we're just talking about where he is right now. And again, this year, he had the highest completion percentage of his career. He had the highest quarterback rating of his career.
How many passes he threw over 10 yards?
What does that matter?
He just throwing probably checkdowns the whole time, but then he don't go about the ladies. How many touchdowns he had?
Clearly, he's not throwing checkdowns because they love that fade to AJ Brown 2 or 3 times a game.
That he can't make that pass consistently to AJ.
He can't make that pass. Now, again, what I've said about Jalen Hurts is that there, for me, at times when I watch Jalen Hurts sometimes plays too carefully. He won't turn it loose. Sometimes he doesn't. I'm not disagreeing with that. There's times where I wish he would just say, "Hey, I'm gonna turn it loose." But I think last year, I think he threw 15 interceptions last year, which was well beyond a career high for him.
Yes.
He started to play a little less, a little more careful and a little less risk averse. But that said,
that's why he played careful, because you know what's going to happen.
Well, no.
To the defense, Sean.
That's not true. Again, and also, it's understanding the situation you're in. When they got it, they have statistically the best defense they've had in 20 years in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they have Saquon. They got a massive offensive line. They got three weapons outside that when those guys get one-on-one, they generally going to win one-on-one. We're talking about AJ, Devontae, and Dallas Goedert at tight end. He understands his job. He does his job well, and he does it with no ego. He does not care about numbers. He does not care about stats. He cares about winning. That's it.
How do I pause that, Sean? I don't want to lose a point. You clearly said he does this job. He does his job well. He know what he's supposed to do, and that's being the game manager.
Well, but wait, hold on. But hold on. Every quarterback's job is to manage the game. How it looks is going to be different, but every quarterback's job is to manage the game. The best of the best manage the game well. It's the ones who don't manage the game well, who don't either last long or don't stay starters long, because again, you can't be the reason why we're losing the game if you had the ball in your hands as much as you do. So every great quarterback's a game manager. It's how it looks, how it is aesthetically. And again, there's some guys who play with better talent, you know, in terms of outside and other things of that nature. You got to manage those situations as well. That's the true idea. That's the idea, right? We literally saw your favorite quarterback, your quarterback of your team this year, throw three interceptions in the regular season.
Oh, I thought you said about just every threw four in the playoffs game.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. What did he do in the playoff game? He had to do more. Mm-hmm. He had to do more.
And then don't everybody say to be hate, because I could one of these days when we have an episode, we can talk about him. I'll be real about Justin Herbert.
No,
I think he's a playoff choker right now. Until he showed me better, he's a choker in the playoffs.
I'm not putting that on him, because again, I don't think the Jacksonville game was his fault.
I agree with you on that.
I'm just saying that I think again, a lot of it is quarterbacks manage the game. There's weeks where some weeks they say, hey, listen, we're going to have to turn it up. We're going to turn it loose a little bit more this week. And there's some weeks where say, hey, listen, we can be a little more balanced and say, hey, no, this week, because of this defense we're seeing, they don't stop the run. We're going to be more run heavy. We're going to make them stop the run. And when they come down or we get some one-on-ones outside, we'll take our shots there. But it's about managing the game. All of them have to do it. The great ones to the not so great ones. It's the great ones who manage the game week to week that leads to winning. That's why we talk about them the way we do. To me, that's what Jalen Hurts is. He manages the game week to week. They know week to week they got to do certain things to win, and he does it. Super Bowl Sunday, we'll talk about it next week, but there's going to be some things he's got to do in this game for them to win, and he's shown the propensity to do it.
Yeah, we'll see how it happens. We're going to talk about we're going to get back to Jalen Hurts another day, because, you know, we got Super Bowl coming up. But we got to go into our next couple of stories before we get up out of here. Obviously, we know Liam Cohen has accepted the Jaguars job. It was a lot of drama going on about him accepting the job, not accepting the job, saying other things, blocking teams, hiding from him and all, and not answering calls. There's a lot of drama going on. Whatever, he ended up taking the job. Buccaneers have been blocking multiple assistants on their team from interviewing with the Jacksonville Jaguars to go be with Liam Cohen's side. So is Mr. Duval in trouble? that was terrible. His first one was terrible. But what was your reaction to hearing this, though, that the Buccaneers are blocking? Is it a bad divorce? We can say Liam Cohen is probably never going to be able to coach for the Buccaneers again. Well, it's going to be a long time before he can do it again.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, a lot of times when guys get head coaching jobs, they pilfer from other staffs. My only issue with blocking these assistants from interviewing is if you're blocking them from interviewing for jobs that are technically promotions, which means more money for them. So that's why I have a problem with this. Don't keep me from making more money, you know, and moving up in the world to a greater opportunity. Because again, some of these assistants could want to desire to be head coaches at some point. Well, how they climb the ladder, they move around, jump around, and, you know, and try to, you know, get their name up and their fame up and their game up. But ultimately, I think this is a bad look. If it's the Buccaneers blocking because of how Liam Cohen handled the situation, it's petty. And
it's petty.
And, you know, and it's why they're a trash franchise. And I'll say it plainly, you're a trash franchise if you're doing this for that reason.
Yeah, if you're doing that for that reason, yeah. At the end of the day, I'm not going to stop my assistant from making more money. It'll suck to go there because I feel like he moved dirty. Or I'm saying, if you're going to block me, better give me a promotion. Give me more money.
Right.
give me a promotion. Give me a, hey, look, man, I don't want you to go over there because I feel like Liam did some shiesty stuff. He was wrong how he went about it. Oh, man, he offered me this a higher head coach position, a man to be X amount of dollars. All right, look, I'm going to block it. I probably can't reach the number because that's a head coach position, but I probably add a look. If it's six million, we add a couple more millions on top of that. I might not be getting that exact number I would have been getting, but you showing me that you want to keep me by paying me more money, then that's cool. But don't block, like you said, don't block my opportunities if you're not going to reward me at all. I can't do that. On to the next one, Sean. Time for the rumor mill. Rumors. Necessarily not always true, but NFL rumors that execs of NFL teams do not feel the 2025 draft class has a franchise quarterback. Do you agree or disagree? You got obviously the big name in this class is Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders.
Right.
And we got other names like Dylan Gabriel from Oregon, Jalen Milroe from Alabama, Will Howard at Ohio State, just to name like the big names that's like at the top of the list.
Right.
Do you agree or disagree with there's no franchise quarterback in this draft class?
Let me qualify the term franchise quarterback. I think a franchise quarterback is as good as where they go.
Thank you. Yes. You get it right on the head.
So we can say, oh, neither of these guys, and we're talking about the top two, the two guys we know are going in the first round are Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. Mm-hmm. This isn't last year's draft class. This isn't even the year before's draft class, where you talk about Bryce Young and CJ Stroud and Anthony mm-hmm. Richardson, and then fast forward last year with obviously Caleb Williams and Jane Daniels and Drake May, Michael Penix, JJ McCarthy, who you know we still don't know about yet, and mm-hmm. Bo Nix. This mm-hmm. is this is considered a weaker quarterback class. But I think it's going to all come down to where do these guys end up,
mm-hmm.
which is they end up in. Right now, when you just talk about overall rankings, in turn, the only Cam Ward is ranked among the top 15 overall prospects.
Yeah.
And for some, he's considered the number one quarterback, and then Shedeur mm-hmm. is number two. He's ranked number 16 on a lot of lists. So they're not slam dunk guys in the rank right there. So again, to me, it comes down to where do these guys go? What situation do they end up in? Mm. There's still a lot to be done though during this time. Obviously, you know, you have some games going on this week, Senior Bowls and things of that going on this week. So that's why you're having a lot of the conversation. There's been some hype around Jackson Dart this week.
Yep.
As well. People talked about Dylan Gabriel, as you mentioned his name earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still a lot of process to happen. You still got pro days. You still got the combine. You got to get these guys in your building to interview them and get, one-on-one with them, see, how they do in that scenario. So it's really early to say, but obviously we do know that two of these quarterbacks are going in the top in the first round.
And then, with pro days, too, because we have seen before a pro day can raise your stock from at the end of the first round to a top 10 pick. Then you see with Anthony Richardson. Literally, Anthony Richardson, people questioned on it. It was like maybe he could be a top pick, but people didn't want to take that risk on him. He went to his pro day and threw that ball and hit the top of that building, and he instantly solidified himself. It wasn't a question no more. They was like, we'll figure everything else out with him later on. Now, right. Is the coach regretting it yet? I wouldn't necessarily know yet, but we're going to wait and see how it grows. But sometimes your talent and your pro day could get you there. To say that this draft class does not have a franchise quarterback, if you were saying that it's like a talent where you just can't pass on, no, of course not. But the person that's the best quarterback in the league right now wasn't labeled that at all. Because what helped Patrick Mahomes become Patrick Mahomes? Where he went and who was coaching him. That's the most thing. So if any one of these quarterbacks go to where their potential can be met to a high level, then they can become one of those quarterbacks. Yeah, like there's not a Caleb Williams, where you could put Caleb Williams anywhere, he still looked good. The Bears had a bad year, but Caleb Williams didn't look bad. Jaden Daniels substantially looked crazy. Took a team from the second pick to the NFC Championship game. But also still got to acknowledge the fact of that Jaden Daniels had a good offensive coordinator and they had a good offense that they ran. I can't 100% say no, it's not a generational quarterback. I'm just going to franchise quarterback. Because a franchise quarterback could be somebody who's just good enough to do the job and he's a career starter for you. That's the franchise guy. He'd be there for 10 years, you know, unless you want Patrick Mahomes. If y'all comparing anything to Patrick Mahomes, then no. But if you're just saying a guy who could come to your team, he can win games, make you compete in the playoffs, be your starter for like 10 plus years, it's a possible quarterback you can get in a year like that. It's possible. Next up on the list, Sean, Bill Belichick is back in the news. Bill Belichick wants the Super Bowl trophy to be named after Tom Brady. Holy glaze, by the way. But do you agree with Bill Belichick?
Not at all.
Why? He the GOAT. You don't agree with the GOAT? Okay. I understand.
Well, no. So the Lombardi trophy is obviously named after Vince Lombardi.
Yes.
You know, when people talk about bringing home that Lombardi, Lombardi is synonymous with team winning, you know, now let me say this really quickly, where I think there could be some traction, and I don't certainly agree. I don't think it's a slam dunk that the Super Bowl MVP trophy is not named for anyone. Mm-hmm. If you want to honor Tom Brady and name the Super Bowl MVP trophy after that, after him, I think that's more of a conversation. I think that's more realistic, potentially.
How many Super Bowl MVPs he got?
Five.
So two of them he didn't get. Okay. Right. Do he have the most Super Bowl MVPs?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, let me just point this out really quickly. Tom Brady's got dirt on him.
Oh, come on, Sean.
No. I'm just saying, listen, he was. Let's be clear. He did get caught up in some scandals, football related scandals. He did get suspended for one of them. Mm. So, should you pay tribute to someone who's done that? I don't know. That's a different conversation. But I just say, if you were going to honor Tom Brady, I think that's the way to consider doing it. But I don't think it should be necessarily, you know, give it to him, right? The Walter Payton Man of the Year, right? That's named after Walter Payton because of his community service, his community, things he did, you know, during his career. You know, that is named for him, right? With Brady, again, you can't just say, oh, we're just going to forget all the cheating allegations I'm not, and this is not a hate Tom Brady thing. I'm just being clear that if there's going to be some pushback, that's going to be it. Now, the Glazers, they will not even want to talk about that because to them that never existed. I'm just saying if there's going to be pushback, it's going to come from the space of, but Tom cheated and was a part of it multiple times. Not just once, multiple times. Because Hold on, SB. If your girl asks you to see your cell phone and you slam it down and break it, you already just told her you're doing something you ain't got no business doing.
Allegedly
nothing. If you slam your cell phone down when your girl asks to see it, that means you're doing something you ain't got no business doing. I'm just saying. I mean, I know a lot of people that broke cell phones because they were doing something they had no business doing. And they ain't want somebody to see it. So
who broke their phone? Was it Tom Brady?
It was Tom. Yeah.
Nah, because Giselle has like pictures on there. No. He really want them to see it. You know what I'm saying?
No, that stuff's in the cloud anyway. So
they can go get it anyway, man.
I'm just saying. You know, when you do that. That just tells me you're doing something you handle business doing. I'm just saying, you know. You know, you slam when somebody walk in the room, you slam your laptop closed. That means you're probably watching something. You know.
But look, all I'm saying is this, man. Look, I think out of respect for Vince Lombardi, you should never change the name of the
correct.
You should never change. It's too late. It's already named on that. But Super Bowl MVP trophy name after Tom Brady, I'm down for that. The only thing that is like it's kind of weird for me because they usually wait till you about like old and gray, like Tom Brady just retired,
right?
To name him, so I feel like it's kind of like too soon, you know? Because I think what trophy did they name Michael after Michael Jordan?
It was the regular season MVP trophy.
Regular season MVP. That's like when Michael Jordan retired in 2003. Then it's just like by 2007, they said, "Yeah, we're gonna name the MVP."
Like, no. It was much later. It was like it was only, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like even with like the trophy that they just added, the Eastern and Western Conference MVPs, it's Magic and Bird. And imagine like Bird and them, Magic retired like 91 or say early 90s, so about like 96. They say, yeah, we're going to add these trophies and name it after Magic and Bird. They were like, bro, they just retired. I feel like Tom Brady just retired. Are we ready to name something after them? I think, like you said, you go to that quarterback, are you or not, whatever you feel. Yes. But I feel like it's too soon. Like,
yeah,
I think it's too soon to just do something like that. I mean, I would be mad if they did it, but it's just like, holy glaze. Like, yeah, you wild.
Right, and you know they can't name a broadcasting award after Tom Brady because he freaking sucks.
I mean, he made a career playing football.
Yeah, but he freaking sucks.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong. I'm not gonna say he does a great job.
Yeah, no, because he freaking sucks.
I mean, yeah. I'm not gonna argue with that. I'm not mad at it. It's Tom Brady. At least Tom Romo good at it. He wasn't good on the football field.
Except when he's commentating for Josh Allen.
Holy glaze.
Yeah.
Glaze. But you know, everybody got that guy that they like on the football.
That don't matter. Cut it out.
Yeah, I mean, you're true.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's too soon. But let us know what you guys think about it in the chat. Should Tom Brady get a Super Bowl trophy name after? I get he winning. Because also, I'm just saying, it's a dude right now. We watch him winning a lot. What if he hawk him? And I'm trying to tell you right now, if Patrick Mahomes was go to the Super Bowl as much as Tom Brady did and win as much as Tom Brady did, Patrick Mahomes going to have seven. He's going to have seven. He's going to have seven finally. I believe what he got, what, three now?
He has three now.
Yes, every one was him.
Yes.
Three. Yes. He has three now.
Yes.
You think he ain't gonna get the other one? I think what Julia Edelman got one from Tom. Who was the other person that got the other one from Tom Brady?
Deion Branch.
Yep, Deion Branch.
And Leonard Fournette should have had the other one, but we're not gonna get into that.
Yeah,
199 yards, and you the Super Bowl winner. Get the out of here. Come on, man.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. But you know why Tom Brady got that last. That was his last hurrah. That was just like, and then that's also, I'm just keeping it in the book. Shout out Saquon Barkley because I'm glad he bringing light back on it. But that was around the time they were trying to like did the running back position too. But you know, it all plays a part. It all plays a part in that. Episode 139, Sean. Who you got and why?
I got a, you know what, I'm going to spend a special shout out for 39. One, Larry Zonka. Larry Zonka was one of the members of the triple backfield in Miami with Jim Kick and Mercury Morris. And then the other one's going to go to Steven Jackson. Steven Jackson, the running back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, primary player for the Rams, was a beast in his day. He actually has a channel on YouTube where he highlights some kind of forgotten guys and some guys who aren't in the Hall of Fame, who should be in the Hall of Fame and things like that. So Steven Jackson, the running back, not the basketball player, because no. But yeah, Steven Jackson, the running back.
I didn't know. I had to look up 39, I'm not going to lie, because I was trying to avoid saying Dwight for this one. Yeah, I mean, he was a role player when 39. I didn't know Minka Fitzpatrick was 39.
Yes, he does.
Yes, I'm going to go Minka Fitzpatrick. I like Minka Fitzpatrick, actually. Yeah, I'm going to go Minka. I like Minka. Minka was a dog. I'm going to go Minka Fitzpatrick, 39. Yeah. Appreciate you guys for watching. It's been another great episode of Real Takes Over Fake the Base. SB, Sean Webb. And we will see you guys on Monday. And we are out of here. Peace.